Uh-huh. And how is she?
She cannot move her right arm or leg, but everything else is doing fine. She'll be in rehab for 2 weeks, and so it'll be kind of hard, but, and she's, it's her, today's her birthday. She's 91.
Oh, happy birthday. What's her name?
Betty.
Hi, happy birthday, Betty. I know you can't hear it, but you can feel it. And so I wish you all the best, and we will hold you in our blessing in a special way, a birthday blessing for Betty. So thanks, Nancy, for coming on the call and asking for her. We have someone on the call from Toronto, area code 647. You're on.
Good morning, Glenda. This is Helen from New Zealand.
Oh, hi, Helen.
Hi. My son, who's 22, he loves to go clubbing in the capital city here. And I went out dancing myself on Saturday night, also clubbing, and I observed some very disturbing behaviors. But anyway, that's not why I'm calling. On his way home from walking with his friends, he was assaulted by a complete stranger.
Oh, no.
I would like to ask for a blessing for him because of the shock and also the physical damage, but really I'd like to ask for a blessing for all those people who are so troubled that they have that need to attack other people for no reason or even for a reason. I'd love to bless all those people who have that tendency for unsolicited violence. Yeah.
Oh, I certainly will. We will hold all of the troubled souls in our blessing today. And it's interesting that you brought this up because you're going to see that it ties in very closely with the message for today. And blessings for you too. And thank you. I know it's going to trouble you as a mother until you see that he's okay. So we bless you as well.
Thank you.
And we have a caller from Edmonton, Alberta. Hi, you're on.
Hi, Glenda, and hi, Helen, and happy birthday. That's excellent. My birthday's on September 5th.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
Yes, and I don't think I'm going to be able to make the blessing seminar, but it was really great being there last solstice in September.
Oh, it was great having you too. And what would you like to sing today, or are you just expressing your gratitude?
I just want to tell you that I've gone through a difficult time, but life, like any injury, it starts to heal. And I just wanted to say that I'm grateful for that. My life is starting to come back to a healing place, and I feel much better about my heart, my relationship to my heart. And I know I have a good heart, but sometimes
sure,
not healthy, it's hard to see that.
At the core of your heart, I'm sure it's always well and perfect. It's just that sometimes we get focused on the outer layers of stress and brokenness that we believe is our heart. We think that some of our bad attitudes are really driving our heart to be in ways we don't feel are right for us or becoming to us, but we do it anyway. And much as we try, we often just don't know how to get out of that hurting mode. And the hurting mode then leads to other physical, emotional, or social problems. Like anything else, life exist in a continuum, and if we allow our life to dwell too long in a negative pattern, that pattern will begin multiplying itself, and that's when we really, really feel like we're out of control. And it's so hard to get back to the heart of the issue or the heart of the problem or the original pattern that needs reconfiguring. It's very, very hard to get back to this. This is the premier challenge in correcting and reversing cancer or cancerous growth wherever they may happen. As most of you already know, we all have occasional cancer cells that develop in our body, but the positive patterning of our physical makeup, our DNA, our cellular structure is so strong that it will not replicate something that is aberrative or incorrect or wrongly patterned. And so that wrongly patterned cell just dies and it's flushed away. And the same is true when we're essentially healthy in our heart and our life and our souls and our body, that let's say we just get angry over something that happened. It's just somebody really, really upset us, and we got angry. But we know that we just need to cool down, detach from the situation, maybe take a walk or have a good night's sleep, and then we start correcting that pattern so that it doesn't spread into our life. After it's spread into our life, however, it's hard to get back to that original incident. And that's where we sometimes have to go through long periods of healing, long periods of recovery. And in those long periods of recovery, sometimes it doesn't matter where we start, as long as we do get started, and as long as we understand that what we're correcting is a pattern, and we bless ourselves and our life that correcting that pattern is possible, and we bear with it, and we know. And anyone who's recovering from a physical ailment or a family loss or an emotional loss or a financial problem, you may not get back to the core of the problem or the original pattern that went askew right away. You may not be able to connect with that immediately. But if you can just begin correcting any pattern that's not quite right in your life, it's like following the crumbs back through the forest or a string back through the forest. You will get back to the original broken cookie that you scattered the crumbs from. Does that make sense, Desmond?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Well, it's great to talk to you, and I'm sorry that you won't be attending the Blessing Seminar this time, but I know you'll be with us again sometime. It's just inevitable because love brings love back together. That's the way it works. So bye-bye for now, Desmond, and we look forward to speaking with you again another time, and we are at our 10-minute mark where I have promised that people can come in and now be able to have an uninterrupted message from Yeshua. And it's spoken, of course, through my voice. But what I'm doing these days is I'm taking time the night before to just be with him for a nice long visitation, and reminding myself and connecting with him on the fact that tomorrow we're having a blessing. And I look forward to being with you. And what would you like to say? He doesn't give me a clear-cut message, but what he does is he prompts me to listen, and to listen very, very carefully to various things that happen around me, to what I hear other people say. And then sometimes questions that I may ask in my own heart, little ponderings that come to mind as I sit there and I listen. And as I listen for these responses in myself, then I hear him add to the conversation. He amplifies it, and he embellishes on it, and he allows me to develop those thoughts. It seems like from the very beginning, even our very first visitation when I was painting The Lamb and the Lion, our relationship seems to be conversational. He doesn't lecture to me. He doesn't channel through me. He talks to me. And through talking to me, he walks with me. He does life with me. We do things together. We paint together. I write together. And through this ongoing conversation, I find that he develops my consciousness, my capacity for listening and speaking and understanding the issues, the problems, and the solutions for life in greater depth, with greater meaning, greater feeling. And what came up for me this time that was confirmed in my prayer to him before I started the blessing, because that sometimes I'm late because my prayers to him can get a little bit carried away. It's like we get into something that I really want to get through before I start the blessing. But anyway, this time, our conversation shifted back and forth between four pivotal points. One is freedom, our love for freedom, our need for freedom, our need to give freedom to others, and that relationship to forgiveness. And then the other points that entered into the conversation were about love and pain. And I think I want to start with love and pain first, because love is always central to all of his messages, no matter what the external topic seems to be about. Sometimes it's the love that we are. Sometimes it's about how we go about giving love or looking for love, or how we view love. You know, we've each got our own unique ideas about what love looks like. And if we were all together, a group of 500 people sitting in an auditorium, and I ask you all to tell me what love looks like to you, I'll bet every single answer would be a little bit different. Some of them would be a lot different. Some of you really see love as being extremely unconditional, and other people see love as being personal and intimate and the kind of caring that represents that somebody else really understands you and knows you and is going to allow you to have the kind of life and relationship with them that you need. So it can range from being extremely personal to extremely broad and unconditional. But one of the things that Yeshua and I took up as a conversation in Love Without End, that during the time I was painting the painting, so this is a long-term conversation. It goes back over 20 years. And that's the relationship between love we bottle up, love we restrain, love we don't express, and the pain we feel in our life. You know, when we see troubled souls, and I ask him about this explicitly, and he says, that's a soul that cannot express their love. And so instead, they express their pain. They express their anger. They express all the reasons why they can't feel love. You see, everybody wants to feel love. Everybody wants to be love. Everybody wants to receive love. They just don't know it, or they can't admit it. And sometimes it's harder to know it than it is to admit it. But the most hardened criminal still responds to love. And as many of you know, a very important healing technique that was introduced years ago into high security prisons was to give the inmates a plant to love, and then when they were ready, maybe an animal to love. After that, possibly a pen pal to love. And they recognized that by introducing love at whatever degree it would work, whatever degree of expression was possible for that person, healing began to occur, and they began to receive more. You see, we've been focusing a lot in the last few weeks on receiving. And the one blockage I wanted to save until we could give it appropriate attention, and that is all the love we've denied ourselves or denied others. All the love we said we didn't have when we did, that we've reserved and not expressed. And that pent-up love has resulted in pain, in illness, in really, really messed up, missed, wrongly patterned approaches to life. Patterns that don't work, whether they're social patterns, relationship patterns, or physical patterns. It really traces back to problems we have with love. How we misinterpreted love, or how we loved someone who hurt us. And then we had to defend ourselves against what we wanted to receive as love. But we couldn't. And it could have been a parent, or a sibling, or a best friend, or someone later in life that we loved who betrayed us. And everything we looked at or defined as love then began to be looked at by us as betrayal. So every time we would love, then we would feel betrayed. Or maybe we wouldn't feel betrayed, but we would eventually move our life into a pattern that would bring about betrayal or a repetition of that original betrayal that we experienced with that particular love relationship. And that results in pain. We try to treat pain as a symptom with everything from aspirin to control substance. And sometimes we need to. Sometimes we just need to get pain out of our perceptual field so that we can look at something else for a while. So I'm not in any way criticizing the methods we use for pushing pain away. But ultimately, pain is not going away until the conditions that produce it are going away. Sometimes it really is a physical thorn in our side, and we need to remove that thorn. Sometimes it really is a broken leg. We need to set that broken leg. Sometimes it's a broken relationship, and we need to sit down with that person, that friend, that loved one, or an employer or a fellow employee, and talk through the problem. Sometimes it really is, there really is an external issue that can be fixed. But oftentimes, the issue is in us. And that issue inside us, oftentimes, is not even in present time. It's a pattern that we're repeating from something that happened a very, very long time ago. And that problem from a very long time ago should not be repeated anymore. And so you're probably thinking, well, okay, all right, so that's true. I can buy into that. How do I deal with this? Well, first of all, and most importantly, you need to acknowledge the fact that above and beyond everything else, you want freedom. Freedom is actually something we all want. Now, I don't mean that we all want freedom like birds in the air, fish in the stream. We don't all want, although some of us do. I mean, probably some people would like to be wild ponies on the hills of Australia. They call them Brumbies. Some of us would probably like to, at least for a while, be a Brumby or be a seagull in the air, a Jonathan. Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Some of us probably would. Some of us probably would like to go on a sailing trip around the world and just land in whatever port beckons our next interest, point of interest. And that's fine. But not everybody wants that degree of freedom. But we all want freedom. We want freedom from oppression. We want freedom from other people to tell us how we should be, how we should feel. We want freedom from being underneath a heavy load in our life that we're always seemingly struggling with. We want freedom from pain, freedom from suffering, and we want freedom from all the unknowns that keep manipulating our life, all the things that keep driving us to worry and fret and to seek more and more extreme solutions when we don't even know what we really, really want. And that gets us back to the ultimate freedom, and that's the freedom to be ourselves. The freedom to be who we really, really are. Okay. Now, if you can just pause quietly and move into your heart and feel that freedom to be, that freedom that you want, how would you get that freedom? Well, the first thing it takes is to realize that in order to get freedom, especially that degree of freedom, you have to be willing to give freedom. And that's all summarized under a nice little word called forgiveness. It's forgiving. And what are we giving? We're giving freedom. We're giving freedom to others, and we're getting freedom for ourselves. When we give freedom to others, we get freedom for ourselves, and we get freedom where it counts. A lot of times, all we need in order to love more, in other words, to let go of a lot of the restraint that's been pressing on your desire to love or your desire to receive love, is that you need to be free. You need to forgive. And as Yeshua said, he said, forgive 7 times 7 times 7. Never stop forgiving. There's never been a freer person that walked on this earth than Yeshua. But he didn't have a jet to travel around the world in. I'm sure he ate. He had plenty to eat. But he didn't sit down at a banquet every night. I'm sure he had all the clothing he needed, but he didn't have a large wardrobe. He didn't own a Ferrari. He didn't make $1 million a year. He had a lot of friends, but he had a lot of enemies too. But it didn't matter. He was free. You see, when you're free to be who you really are. You're free to be the love that you are. And when you're the love that you are, you can decide what love looks like to you. You don't have to love the way somebody else tells you love should be. And as I said, your ideas of love may be a little different than mine. Well, hallelujah. Great. That means we've got more varieties of love in the world. How many varieties of love should we have in the world? Well, I would say maybe 1 million times 1 billion. How many varieties of love could make this a better world? And it's great that your idea of love may be a little different from mine. That just means there's more at the banquet. There's more love to go around. More love to satisfy everyone's idea about love, because it's still love. But what it has to get back to, ultimately, is your freedom. If you're not free to be you, if you're not free to decide how love looks for you and how you choose to experience love, express love and receive love, and who you want to love, how are you going to find what you want? How are you going to recover? You know, your body is totally love-driven. Totally. You probably don't realize it when you're in pain or you're suffering from an illness. But the reason it starts replicating all these bad patterns is it's just downright confused. It's confused because you're not giving it love signals. It is love-driven. That's all a baby is. A baby was born of love. It wants its mommy. It knows when it's hungry. It knows when it needs to be changed and when it needs to be held. And it just doggone well falls asleep when it's sleepy. And it has the sweetest dreams. You can tell by the little smile on its face. Babies are love-driven. It's only later in life we lose our connection with that drive. And as we lose our connection with that drive, our bodies become confused. They don't know what foods they want. Or if they get the food they want, it may not be what they really want or need. It may just be a compulsion. And then they get it and they don't know what to do with it. Or they get the food they want and it doesn't have the nutrients they want in it. Because, you know, we're living in a very environmentally challenged world where we don't always get the nutrients we want in our food. So our bodies become further confused. And you just don't know what to do. The way you resolve that confusion, you can do this. You set yourself free. You set yourself free. And that's the reward for forgiving. When Yeshua hung on the cross and his enemies way outnumbered his friends, he said, Father, forgive them all, for they know not what they do. And do you think he was anything but free? I want to tell you, that's the freest being in the universe. And he never stops forgiving. You can do it too. And when you forgive, you'll want to clothe, have closure on that forgiveness by giving something to somebody. Could be a friend, could be a loved one, someone in your family, someone you haven't seen in years, or a worthy cause you want to give to, or give feed to the birds, set up a bird feeder. Give. Solidify that expression of forgiving with external expressions of giving. And you'll begin to see a difference in your life. Now, it's time for the blessing. And I hope that you found this message in itself to be a blessing and to be rich with meaning for you, that you may now find many, many more blessings in your life, and you'll be able to be in the place where you receive blessings and you know what to do with them. So what we're going to do is I will now move into a prayer to Yeshua. And when I complete, you will move into a prayer, however you choose to pray, whether it's silently or aloud, or however, just be seated. Feet on the ground, head pointed upward. If you can, if you're bedridden, that's okay. The energy will find you. We just want to give you the best possible connection with the earth and with heaven above. And you allow your attention to move into your heart, where beneath layer upon layer upon layer, you will find that heart of hearts where you're free and you are you. And that's the place to be, to receive the fullness of blessing, always, whether you're in our Sunday blessing, or you're celebrating a blessing, or replaying a blessing message, or in prayer or meditation during your week. Go to the heart of hearts of your being and be there in this place where you are really you and you are really free. And just be there. Pray your prayer. And the blessing givers and I will conduct energy that will amplify your experience in being there and enrich and amplify your prayer and your receiving of the blessings of the Holy Spirit, of Christ, and God our Father. Let us begin. Dear Yeshua, thank you for teaching us the power of forgiveness and reminding us that no matter what our condition, we can find the place in which we are free. And that we can know in that place that regardless of how we've experienced life, we can be restored to our immortality and our eternal freedom. Take us to that place now, that we may be in perfect receivership of the blessings you offer. Give us the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, or the conditions of life that have disappointed us, or the external situations that we feel betrayed us. Because we get stuck in these places, and then we don't know how to go home. Help us go home this moment, in this blessing, to be in this place where we are perfectly united with the will of God, your love, your eternal love, and the power of the Holy Spirit to recover from anything and to extend the love that we are into our life and into the world. Amen. Let us begin. Your blessing is complete. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Assimilate the blessings. Allow your body to utilize the energy and just be at peace with yourself as you take in the blessings of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. I wish you a wonderful week and look forward to being with you again next Sunday. Bye-bye for now.